and or a little beyond that. And the Lord knew what was best, didn't he? He's just got it all figured out ahead of time. And this is when we were supposed to be here originally. We're just sure of it. And so we praise the Lord for it. Well, I'm going to have my daughter Brooke stand. I mean, my wife Kyla stand. And see, that from here up, she looks like their granddaughter. And so anyway, and that's a blessing. And you know, Titus, our five-year-old boy, a couple of times when he talks about Pastor Sutton, he'll say, you know, granddaddy. He calls him granddaddy. I mean, it's like the family, I'm telling you. And so anyway, he's feeling at home, and that's a blessing. But with all that being said, we're so thankful and just privileged to be here. You know, we don't get out a whole lot. And so to sing, it's, I'm telling you, it's a blessing for my family to sit there and sing songs. And they realize people all the way over in a foreign country called Maryland sing the same stuff we do. Isn't that a blessing? And it's wonderful. I mean, we just haven't gotten up this far north. A couple of years ago, we went to Maine. Now, we flew somewhere that way and got to, I don't know where I am, got to Maine. And that was as obvious. That's pretty north. But anyway, it's a blessing. Isn't it wonderful how those hymns can kind of draw you together? You know, you just sing those out. Now, that first one called Ready, I wasn't ready for it. I'd ever heard that. That's a great song. I love learning new songs. That was a wonderful song. So I said watermelon all the way through it so you didn't think I was trying not to sing, all right? But anyway, I love that, and it really is. It's a blessing. We have eaten so well. You can tell. I know what eating's all about, okay? And we have eaten wonderful since we've gotten here today. We have eaten by the hand of the weavers, both morning and this evening, and we are so thankful for it. What a blessing to be invited to their home, and the kids playing over there and plucking chickens. I don't know what all happened over there, but anyway, I just hope I hope all's well. And but anyway, we had a wonderful time, and just a blessing. The kids have been talking about that all afternoon. One of the boys, Nathan or Andrew, I can't remember which, climbed the rope, got all the way up to the top. Well, that's a 60. How tall is that rope? He was all 60 up there, and he acted like he got stuck and said, I need help getting down, and both kids fell for it. I mean, the girls just looked at, oh, no, you know, jump. And but anyway, they'll be talking about that forever. It's a wonderful thing, and so we're so thankful for just the privilege of being here, getting to meet you. And can I say this? It says a whole lot about a church that will stay around in fellowship after church. Yes. It does. If you've ever been to a church that doesn't do that, you know what I'm talking about. And I understand, you know, not everybody can make it for the meal before and stay afterwards. I get all of that. But I'm telling you, the fellowship is tremendous, and it says so much just to the integrity of this place and your pastor and all of that. It's just a blessing. It's what a privilege to be a part. And then today, just to hang out and fellowship around a table with food, that's what it's supposed to be. And what a blessing. Nobody's in a hurry to get out. Now, we're going to get you out early tonight, okay, because we want you back tomorrow, okay? And now, I got a message tonight. It's kind of like baloney. Wait, it's not baloney, okay? I said it's not. You know that big old tube of baloney that you say, I want it this thick, and they'll cut it off? I'm going to cut it off when it's time, not when I'm done, okay? And so we're going to get you out tonight, all right? We can always finish it tomorrow, something like that. But we do want to get you home tonight, but so thankful that you come out on a Saturday night. That's a blessing, and so appreciated. That is not taken lightly. It really isn't. Can I tell you the biggest blessing of the night? I can see you tonight, amen? And man, they cut this thing in half, and I it's perfect. It's wonderful. Man, last night, I'm telling you, you have a tall pastor, and they unloaded about 6-quart of brick down here, and I can see you. It's wonderful. Look at you out there, and I'm so thankful. It's a blessing. And anyway, I'm being silly, but one thing about it, I can see it's great. I'm telling you. So anyway, if you'll take your Bible and go to Matthew, please, Matthew chapter 28, and I want to take a moment tonight, and again, just share a little bit more about about the Arkansas Delta. Now, God put us there 7 years ago now and placed within our heart the desire to see that church established and planted. And then, of course, any church planter and really any New Testament church has a desire, in essence, to see other churches planted out of that church. That churches plant churches. And that's the dream and the desire, and that's why we get on board and help church planters. And by the way, it's church planting, whether it's done in America or overseas, it's church planting. And so it's church planting. So with all that being said, it wasn't until we got to where God put us that we realized not only is the need great, it's just, it's unbelievable. The need is so tremendous. And God kind of opened some doors to where we could see that and experience in some ways, really the need for churches to be planted. You know, there's nothing that substitutes, and we said that last night, and I don't mean to overbeat the horse here, but I'm just saying there's nothing that substitutes for a local New Testament church. Amen. Nothing. Nothing will substitute for it. Watching your favorite TV preacher won't substitute for it. It's hard to assemble yourselves together with somebody you've never been with. You know what I'm talking about? And I say all of that somewhat in jest, but remember that what God has given you here is something very special. It's very wonderful. And I'm telling you, I can tell you by experience, not that I've been around the block a time or two or anything like that, but I have been to quite a few churches and I grew up in some good ones. Bethel Baptist Church is a special place. This is a wonderful place. This isn't everywhere. And I'm telling you, it wasn't but the last few years where we're seeing the beginning of this and what we pray that God will do in the next decades until He takes us home, what God will do in Marion, Arkansas, and then again, we pray in the Delta. Now last night, if you saw that little handout, it's got the state of Arkansas, and the Delta is from the northeast corner to the northwest corner, runs right along the Mississippi River, basically. And there's, I think, 17 counties on that, full counties. But, man, there are churches in need, or cities in need of churches in all of those places. We located 12 places strategically along that line where we would like to see the Lord. I don't know if it'll happen in all 12 places. I know it can over the next 40 years. I know it can. But for God to allow us to at least have some part in seeing some churches planted to reach those areas, because there's places you can drive an hour and a half before you can find one church that holds the Bible you do, that the faith once delivered unto the saints. And I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. Now, everywhere I've lived and grown up, that wasn't the case. And it's kind of, I call it the forgotten mission field, and not to sound over dramatic, but I'm telling you, it is a place that 30 years ago, there were some thriving churches. And today, there's nothing. And it's just where God is allowing us and has opened the door for us and given us a burden and a heart. First, we prayed asking the Lord, and I was, Lord, where could we go next? And let me be very clear. We're in Marion to stay a lifetime. We believe God put us there for a lifetime. But you know, much like we expect the missionary to do overseas, you know, Lord willing, many of them, especially in some of these third world countries, you know, they'll plant a church, and once they get the thing planted, they'll keep that church and go plant another one, and that kind of thing. And now we see that in America. Brother Weaver, we were talking about this earlier today. You do see that somewhat here in inner cities, and you see it on reservations. You do see it some in America, but I'm telling you, the Arkansas Delta is a place that needs churches, and God's put it on our heart to see another church planted soon. And they're in what we call Helena, West Helena, Arkansas. It's one of the highest crime rates in the United States. Six of the top 10 cities of crime in Arkansas are right there in our Delta region, and right there where we live. The crime is unbelievable. It's tremendous. And I know there's crime everywhere, but it's just something we didn't know till we got there. We've had so many people in churches that have come and helped us build our building and get things done through the years and all the work that's been accomplished through that. And I'm just going to tell you, everybody that comes, they're quite happy when they get to leave. I mean, it's just, you know, they don't realize when they get there. Man, it's unusual, and we have all kinds of things. The other night, I was working, getting some things together so we could make the trip and have the weekend covered and all that. And I was down at the church, and it was late. And I heard some pounding on the door, so I called my wife, and I said, hey, when I get shot, I want you to know that you need to call somebody to come get my body, you know? And so anyway, I called her, and it was the police out there, and I'd left my headlights on like a dodo, you know? And he said, hey, Mr. Winters, just checking on you. And I said, man, that's comforting to know you're out here, because most people that knock, it's not the face I see when I answer, you know. Listen, I was out preaching in the fellowship hall there preaching one night right when COVID first hit. And we had to record our services and then put them on YouTube. We couldn't live stream and all that when it was right in the beginning. And I'm preaching away. It's like a Wednesday night and we have a Thursday night Bible study. So I'm preaching away and then I take it and record it and edit it down and add music. And our pianist that you hear, she's wonderful. She lives right in this iPhone. And her name is Agnes, by the way, and she counts every service for attendance. Amen. And she's as important as anything. Agnes plays the piano for us. So anyway, I hit play and sing. But I'm down there and I'm just preaching my guts out. I'm between point two and three somewhere. And I heard boom, boom, boom. I mean loud boom. And the windows are rattling and the walls shaking. The computer I'm preaching in front of, you know, I'm staring at this box and it's shaking. And I'm watching my face do this on the computer because it's shaking. And I'm going, you know, we didn't have any thunderstorms coming or anything. And it took me about a half a second while I'm preaching. This is what's going on in my head. Them's gunshots. That's what I heard. So, man, I take off. I take up arms. I'm ready to, you know, fight whoever. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. Anyway, I was actually quite afeared is what I was, be honest with you. And, you know, the biggest fear of having a weapon is ever having to use the thing. Right. You know, it really is. And where I live, thinking, Lord, it's appointed unto man once to die. I hope my appointment's a long time from now, you know. And anyway, I won't tell you the whole story, but man, it was a gang fight. There were guys with AK-47. When those things go off, they're like a cannon. And they're out in front of our flagpole, right in front of the building. It's like midnight. And they're shooting into the old motel next door. And the old motel next door, they've got 12-gauge shotguns shooting back. And I'm thinking, another day in Marion, amen. And I went down there. When I waited a minute and some series of events. When I heard all the sirens, I said, praise the Lord. It's safe to go see what in the world's happening out there. I went down there. They had all the routine going on over there, checking everybody. And where we live, they always say, no, Marion's a nice city. All the crime comes over from Memphis. You know, every one of those people had a Marion address. And I thought, my soul, man, I've knocked on those doors during the daylight. That's kind of scary knowing what's behind there, you know. But anyway, all that to say, we do have a lot of crime and those kind of things. But, you know, God loves poor people.
He does.
God loves poor people. He has a heart for poor people. The poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. God loves poor people. And I'm not saying everybody I know there is poor, but I'm saying we have a whole lot of it. And you know, I've got 12 cities listed here, and I've got them listed in the order, I believe. And by the way, this order changes down here after about number four, city number four, where I think, man, you know, that place needs a church. You know, that place needs a church, and God will put this on your heart. And I'm telling you, every one of these 12 cities are declining in population. They're declining. They're not growing. They're on no radar of any church planner anywhere. Nor were they on mine till God put us in Marion. But God helped me understand some things that they need the gospel and He put me there for that reason. And you know, sometimes, and maybe I'll give you a little bit of my fleshly thinking sometimes, the idea is I want to go somewhere that's exciting and where it's growing. We can grow with the town and all these kind of things. You know, you say, God, if you can let me have these five things or whatever, then that is a prime location to plant a church. You know, I had to come to the understanding I need to go where God called me to go.
Amen.
And then to get a heart for these people. You know, it took us getting there to develop the kind of burden God wanted us to have. And then to drive through these cities, it is heart-wrenching. You don't have to get your, what is it, National Geographic or, you know, your World Traveler magazines to go see third world countries. I'm telling you, I can take you to places that would blow your mind. It's amazing. You say, that's in America. But the Mississippi Delta and the Arkansas Delta, it's more known as the Mississippi Delta because it runs the river there. But the Arkansas side is where God's put our burden. But I'm telling you, that is the poorest region of our country. The only place that even compares to it are the Indian reservations over in the northwest corner or the northwest part of our nation there. And southwest is what I mean to say. And I'm just telling you, the poverty is tremendous, but they need the Lord. I mean, these people are shooting each other up day in and day out. And there's families that need Christ. I wish I could take you into our church, all of you, for a Sunday just to see. You might feel like you're in a place you've never been, more than likely. Maybe some of you know. But our church services, they're happy events. The people are excited to be there. But may I say this, we have a lot of babies in Christ. And they don't have any more sense enough to know that Jesus loves him. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. And it's a wonderful thing.
And they're growing. But I'll tell you what, the process of sanctification and God doing a work in their life, it all happens through the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen overnight. Thank God, salvation comes in an instant. But He's still working on me. Amen. And I'm so thankful for what God's done. Now, what God's done there in Marion really is a special thing. We're thankful for it. Matter of fact, you can pray with us about this if you don't mind. We are right in the middle. And I say the middle. It's right toward the end of purchasing our building with a long-term loan. And 3 years ago, I went to purchase. Well, before that, I inquired about a loan so we could buy the building that we meet in and it be ours. So we have something, you know, that's ours and all of that. And the very first time we understood, okay, you've got to be there 3 years before we even think about it. Because there's all kind of things call themselves churches that start up and they don't go for a while. They don't go for hardly at all and the bank's stuck with the problem. Then you have people on the other end of that, they start a church in their house so they can get tax benefits or tax write-offs and then they just, you know, they cheat the system. So they said, no, that's not going to happen. So 3 years ago, we go and we went through it was quite a process to prove that I'm going to stay in Mary. I'm here. I'm just give us a loan. We want this building, you know. And we needed the loan because there's an outfit that's so kind to us that gave us a big sum of money to build our auditorium to not just remodel, but we took the lid off of the whole thing, new trusses and everything, and new air conditioners. All anyway, long story short, we went in and it was quite a process, but they gave us a 3-year trial loan. And they said, okay, in essence, if you can make a payment on time for 3 years, we'll talk to you in 3 years. Well, this month is 3 years. And so we've given everything, and I think we look great on paper. We don't look like we have much, but thank God we don't have debt. Praise the Lord for that. God has just done so many things, and He's paid for it all the way through. So for us, that's a big blessing, and we're not under that bondage and so forth. And so anyway, I'm waiting for the call for Him to say, you're good. And you'll hear me shouting, I promise you that. And that's a big, big blessing for us. So if you'll pray with us about that, we're looking forward to that, getting that phone call, hopefully this next week, to get our building for a long-term loan in our name. That establishes us there in that community. It really does. And so we're thankful for that. And we're praying. And pray with us, if you would, please, about what God is going to do in Helena and what He's working in our hearts to do. Well, you're in Matthew in chapter 28, and I'm not. Some of you know this one by heart. Matthew chapter 28. And if you would, please stand with me just for a moment. You don't have to. If you're not able to stand or whatnot, please don't feel obligated to have to. But we're going to be just a few moments tonight. Some of you will know these verses quite well. But I want to put some thoughts in our heart and mind here as we even as we head into tomorrow. Now, if somebody's not here or not online tonight to hear the service tonight and comes tomorrow, I'm not saying they're not going to get anything out of the message. I'm saying it's a blessing you're here. I think you'll get a little bit more because you can be able to connect maybe the dot a little better by our introduction tonight and some thoughts here. I want to preach to you some thoughts about God's evangelism and discipleship program, about the Great Commission. You see it here, Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says in verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Would you please be seated? Let's ask God to meet with us for the few moments that we have tonight before we head our separate ways. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you certainly would take these verses that we have read. And Lord, as familiar as they can be to many of us in this room, may we look at them through the eyes and the lens of what your Holy Spirit desires to do in our hearts tonight. And Lord, ultimately we pray that your will would be accomplished, that we would be pleasing to you in how we hear and heed your word tonight. Thank you for all that you have done to assemble this exact crowd together. And even going back months and even a year to know all that's coming together now, we have no doubt. Lord, in your power and in your sovereignty, you know all of these things. You know who's here tonight. You know the message to be preached tonight. You knew all of that before any of us did. Now, please, we ask that you would do a work. we'll be thankful for. Be with the children downstairs, Lord, with Miss Dola, and I pray that you'd bless their time together. Make it greatly beneficial to all of them. We thank you so much for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I look at verse number 18 as we get into what we know as the Great Commission. And there's a phrase there that is not in red letters, but that to me gives the emphasis of what we're about to hear with the red letters. If your Bible doesn't have red letters, you probably wonder what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about the way that many of us know it's Jesus talking as we see the red letters, you know. But in verse number 18 it says, "And Jesus came," look at this, "and spake unto them, saying." Think about the power of the words of Jesus Christ. You know, you think about the breath of God. We're talking about power. I mean, you go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You get down to verse number 3, and it records the very first words of God actually speaking. And He said, "Let there be light." You think of the power of the spoken word of God. We recognize even there at creation, you find the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. You find them there. You find that Jesus is the Word. You find that Jesus is the power and the spoken Word. You see the breath of God breathe life into man right there in Genesis. And you know, the power of the voice, the breath, even the words of God. But you know, it's God that formed man from the dust of the ground. And the Bible says He breathed into the nostrils of man. He said He breathed in the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A lot of people think that we're a body that has a soul. You know, the actuality is we're souls that God gives bodies to. Your soul lives on for eternity. Your soul is something that's who you really are. That's who God created. He formed man and breathed into man. You think about the power of the Word of God, the breath of God. The breath of God breathed the book. I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God. These are inspired words. These are words of God. I believe that this is forever settled in heaven. I don't doubt the Bible that I preach from tonight. I don't doubt it. I don't look at it and say, man, there's some things in here that could be better. I trust this book. I believe this book with everything that I have. God forbid we ever turn from what God's given us in our King James Bible. But can I tell you this, that those words are God breathed, we understand. Inspired words. The power of the words of God. The breath of God empowered the church in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 2. The church at Jerusalem, I believe, to continue His work. I believe it was already in existence that He started while on this earth. And God breathed that spirit, that life. And what a powerful, that's the power that we get to go in even tonight. Think about the power, the breath of God. It empowered the church here. So, you know, when I read the Great Commission and I kind of connect the dots from Genesis 1:1, and I recognize this is the same power of God that created this earth, created me, gave me life. And this is a command from the same breath of God that is to tell me to go do whatever it is following the word in verse number 18 saying. So whatever He says, it'd be good if I went ahead and did it.
Yes, sir.
We find it there where it says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." You know, I've heard the Great Commission described. I grew up hearing it. Go win, baptize, teach. You might have heard that, you know. You kind of go win, baptize, teach. Win them, work them, wet them. Maybe that's a Southern thing. I don't know. But anyway, they got a few ways. Make them, mark them, mature them. That's another Southern way of saying it. But anyway, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel. You know what? It's a wonderful thing to do that. Matter of fact, it is the only... I think it's Dr. Hudson that said the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience. But can I tell you this, that the truth is that even how I grew up, and thank God for everything that God put in me, and just wonderful parents and good churches. Man, going and telling was a wonderful thing. But you know, the Great Commission really has more part than that. It's to teach them, and then, I mean, to tell them to go and tell, and then to see them baptized, added to the church, and then to disciple them. And anything that throws a wrench in that process keeps that process from being repeated.
Right.
And that's why we can't overemphasize one to the neglect of any other part. The Great Commission is so powerful because of who gives us the command and the power that goes along with that command. So the Great Commission. So we ask the question, who is the Great Commission given to? I believe with all conviction that the Great Commission is given here to a New Testament church.
Amen.
I know that because the authority wherewith we are told to go is the same authority we are told wherewith to baptize.
Right.
And I don't have the authority myself just to go dunk people.
Right.
I've had people ask me to baptize them. I mean, they're not interested in church, but they've asked me to baptize them. Hey, do y'all baptize children? As if we're just going to send them over there and get them baptized as if they're going to be dedicated. Well, there's some religion that teaches that that has some kind of effect. But they don't understand a thing about church doctrine. I don't just go administering, the Lord's table or communion, you know. I don't just go do that willy-nilly. That's an ordinance of the local church. Now, if we believe that and we take this as truth, we understand the command for the church is to go. What a blessing that is to go to all the world. So we say, where is it to be taken? Well, that's obviously simple. Everybody here can see this very clearly. We're to take the gospel into all the world. That means that it goes far beyond La Plata, but we understand. La Plata or La Plata? The answer is yes. Okay, La Plata. Anyway, I don't want to start a civil war here. Hey, man, listen, I'm far, far, farther north than I'm used to being. I'm already nervous. Okay, we lost that battle. Anyway, that's another thing. But I'm simply saying that when it comes to this commission, we're to go here, but we're also to go there.
Amen.
By the way, that's why you have a missions conference.
Right.
That's why you've been a blessing through the years to so many and continue to be, because of the understanding of what the Great Commission is all about. That's why you give your tithes and offerings and missions giving through the New Testament church. I'm telling you, there is something to this commission that is great. It is tremendous. But what a power that it is. And it's told, it gives us the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. What are the responsibilities of a New Testament church? Well, you know this, it's evangelism and discipleship. And I guess I'm not trying to oversimplify, just saying that we've got to go, but we've also got to teach.
Amen.
You got nobody to teach if you never go. And we can't substitute that. That was at least my heart's desire last night, to get something across in that. We can't substitute the process of going and discipling and seeing that. We can't substitute that for anything. I can't, in essence, pay the missionary to go do something God's told me to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so we understand the importance of evangelism. By the way, that's the go and the tell. Look at verse number 19, okay? It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, that word nations there, and you likely know all this, so and if you don't, maybe you'll learn something tonight. But the idea of nations there, it's where we get our word races from. Now, we're all one human race, okay? We understand that. But we're talking about the different nationalities and so forth. And so you can find those nationalities. My goodness, you go pick a big city around here. You got all kinds of nationalities. I mean, some of you understand how you could reach the world through one big city, my soul. But even in small towns, that no different. There's all kinds of different nationalities. But to go and teach all nations. So the go, he's telling the go ye, the ye there in verse number 19, that's the church. These are disciples that Jesus told. You go into all the world and you preach the gospel. And so we have the go and the tell. That word teach in verse number 19, it means to instruct, to make pupils. I think of the pupil in your eye. You know, God gave you that to observe, to see. And there's something about going and telling somebody the truth and to show them the truth of the Word of God. Seeing somebody come to Christ isn't saying, repeat this after me, say amen, and you're good as gold to get to heaven. They have to believe in their heart. There has to be a Holy Ghost conviction come upon them so they can see the need of their sin or their sin in their life, the need of salvation and so forth. That's the work of the Holy Ghost of God. But you teach them, you tell them. I was telling somebody, I don't remember who I was talking to about this exactly, but you know, it seems like when we give the gospel, when we talk about Jesus, when my wife teaches the children that God gives us, and I'm talking about the teenagers even, and the adults that God allows us to deal with, you know, we don't start with a Romans road like it seems like we used to. We got to start in Genesis 1:1. I mean, they don't know who Adam and Eve is. They don't know. And I know it's the South, but they don't know. That's where we begin. It's called teaching. You got to tell them. They've got to know the truth. Truth makes them free. So it is. We evangelize them and then we disciple. And that gets me excited. I'm going to wind her down here, and it may feel like we're going to stop right where it's like, okay, but I told you that's where we're going to cut the baloney off. Well, I keep calling my preaching baloney. That may be accurate to some of you, okay? But anyway, we're going to cut off here in a minute. We'll pick it up at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning somewhere. But anyway, it says there in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, I circled the word command in my Bible, and I circled the two words in verse 18, spake and saying. Because the same one that spake with all power, gave all authority in His name to go take this gospel message, is the one in verse 20 that says, I have commanded you. Amen. So the blessing of that is, the responsibility of that is wow. We have Jesus Christ telling us to do something that if we don't, we're not being obedient. But the incredible blessing behind all of that is to say, that's the power in who we get to go. We go in the name of Jesus Christ. We go with His gospel. It's not my gospel. It's not your gospel. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we get to take into the highways and the hedges. What a blessing to be able to teach people, even after they're saved, to see them grounded in faith. Now, all of that will come in the morning of seeing some great application to that in Scripture, that is. So we said in verse number 20, I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Now I want to leave with at least this thought tonight, and we'll pick it up in the morning with this thought. That, you know, Jesus did not use the term or the word disciple lightly. Now, He didn't use the word Christian or the term Christian. Remember, last night we saw they were first called Christians at Antioch. But we saw specifically the disciples were the ones that were called Christians at Antioch. You never find somebody in the Scripture, all three times in Acts, you never find somebody called a Christian unless it was a disciple. Now, I'm not talking about one of the 12 and then Judas fled off and here comes Paul and plugged in there. I'm not talking about just those that follow Jesus. I'm talking about a disciple is a disciplined person that follows the Lord Jesus Christ. There's somebody who's rooted and grounded in truth and a disciple. And so we have that thought that we mentioned last night. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples.
Right.
See, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's hard to even sometimes use terminology because it gets mixed up with, I saw that on a sign one time, or I saw that on a bumper or whatever. And we've got to understand to define things according to the Word of God. Do you understand a disciple is one, and we even call it discipleship, or we'll disciple somebody, in the foundations of the Word of God as a young believer. And that's all important to do. But can I tell you that part of the Great Commission is the beginning of that discipleship process. And it's the first part of, we divided evangelism and discipleship into two, the go and the win and the baptize and teach. You know, baptism is not to be taken lightly.
Right.
Matter of fact, I believe firmly that you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ without being baptized into a New Testament church.
Sure.
I don't think you can take, I know you can share the gospel. Oh my goodness, I hope you're not reading into something I'm not saying. But I'm not saying somebody that's not a part of a New Testament church can't tell somebody out about Jesus. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm telling you, who authorized the message that is authorized of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He placed the authority into, is He vested that authority into the New Testament church. This is the organism whereby He put His power into, so that you and I could take a message, not willy-nilly on our own, but as a church that identifies with the body of doctrine called the New Testament church.
Right.
You think about the discipleship progress, and some people, man, they just get stumped in their Christian walk and they say, man, I'm saved, but it seems like I can't grow. It doesn't seem like anything. And you know, some people haven't stopped to think, I probably ought to get baptized. Probably ought to get baptized. We've had some folks through these last few years. I have one lady And I'll tell the story brief. I got to be careful what I say online, by the way, okay? And you get personal, stories too personal. And I'll be calling my wife and saying, when you hear the gun go off, that's my last breath, okay? So I better be careful here. But anyway, but we had once upon a time, we had somebody that in one time, somebody that I knew of, somebody that had this happen to them in Marion. And anyway, but we had somebody come to church. And brother, we were there from Forest City. She'd been in Forest City for many years. Long story short, she said, hey, I'm just looking for a Bible preaching church and somebody preach the Word of God, you know, and preach the King James Bible. That's what I want, and that kind of thing. And it was a blessing that she came for a great deal of time there. She had come from her church, her old mainline Presbyterian church. She was kind of, you know, in that for many, many years. And she said, I just had enough. I had to leave when the church over there, the church I had been in for years, has been around forever. And pastor that preached the gospel or preached the truth, the Word of God and all that kind of stuff, he left. They got this new youth pastor in. Now, listen to me. They got the new youth pastor in and her wife. That's like a problem, folks. Man. So anyway, she moved over and she said, well, you know, we've seen a lot of whatever. So she said, I'm going to try this Baptist church out. You know, somebody that won't submit to the authority of baptism.
Right.
There's always an opportunity for the devil to get a foothold. And even when you get beyond that, and by the way, if there's anybody in this room that either struggles with this or has questions about this, please understand, you talk to your pastor about this. And by the way, anything that is said in these messages that your pastor doesn't agree with, he is right and I'm wrong, okay? I mean that. And you talk to him about that. And if he has to straighten a mess out, I'm sorry. That's not a good thing. But anyway, I'm so far, I hope I'm shooting okay. But can I tell you this? Baptism is not just getting dunked in wet water so somebody can say, oh, they're a really bold Christian. Now, it's part of it to identify with Christ.
Amen.
But we do believe that baptism is a part of a very important process called the Great Commission.
Amen.
That you'll never grow like you ought to until you submit to the authority, not of the pastor and not of the name on the sign church, but I'm talking about to the authority that Jesus gave that makes you a church.
Amen.
The identifying of the truth of the body of doctrine that is given to us. I'm telling you, it's important that you get the thing settled of being baptized. It is. And I don't know if that might put a little thumb on somebody a little hard and make them think a little bit. And I hope it does if you need that, or somebody you know and you love and you say, man, it just seems like, you know, it's two steps forward and one step back and three steps forward and two steps. It seems like they're always struggling and then they get away and they get back. You know, until you get baptized, you can't grow as a disciple. You can't grow like you should.
Right.
And I say that word disciple, that word in verse number 20, where it says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. You know, that word teaching in verse 20 and the word teach in verse number 19, they have the same root, but they're given in different emphasis in that. That word disciple in verse number 20, and we'll end with this thought, it means to instruct, to give them the instructions, to give them something to hold to that they're taught. It's something that's taken from one and passed on to another. You know, the first four letters of the word knowledge is the word know, K-N-O-W. You can't know something until somebody gives you that or teaches you that or instructs you in that. Can I say this? Never discount the importance of your Sunday school.
Amen.
Go to Sunday school when it's time and when all that opens back up. I'm saying the children in Sunday, in other words, teaching the Word. Any opportunity you get to teach the Word of God and hear the Word of God, go, get in. Read your Bible, pray every day, grow, grow, grow. We understand the importance. Teaching them to observe. And I'll end with this thought. I probably ended about five times. Y'all getting that? That's kind of scary. I need to land the plane here. It says, teaching them to observe all things. You know, the word observe means to hold fast. That's what discipleship does. When the Great Commission is fulfilled, you have somebody that was taken the Word of God. Somebody went. Somebody received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then they were baptized into a New Testament body. And then they grow. They're taught. Now, when they got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in.
Amen.
And He's the greatest teacher you'll ever have. Matter of fact, you know, I can guarantee you this. Here's a great guarantee. I'm going to try to take credit for something. That's kind of silly. You know what's wonderful is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in me is the same one that dwells in you. God, tell you what, He's the same author of this book and He never disagrees with it.
Amen.
He'll never disagree with it. And I'll tell you, there's some application that sometimes I've heard preachers preach. Man, I've gotten convicted at my own preaching because it's the Word of God. You know what's amazing? God can convict your heart about something and your heart about something and your heart about something in the same message, and they're all three different things He's convicting about. But I can tell you this, the Word of God is of no private interpretation. I mean, what God said He meant and what He meant is what He said, and that is given here. And we don't take that and we don't play with it and we don't massage it around and try to get it and bend it over here to fit this little nuance of our idea and so forth. No. We understand that teaching of the Word of God, unadulterated teaching of the Word of God, is truly what a disciple is made of. The truth of the Word of God being taught, the knowledge being transferred from one to another. And you say, well, how does that transfer take place? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, you may look at your preacher sometimes going out that back door like I get from time to time. And somebody said, boy, you convicted me today. Well, that was the Holy Spirit. I can't convict anybody. But the Holy Spirit of God can. You know, I got saved when I was 5 years old. And can I tell you this? I knew when I got saved that I got saved. Now, I didn't know all that I know today about what it meant to be saved. I didn't know all the I didn't know all of that. I didn't study the Word of God day in and day out. I mean, I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't into heavy sin at 5. But I'm just telling you, when I got saved, I know the difference. And I know this. I felt different about the things that I did. And it went from, man, Mama seems to know everything, to realizing, you know, God tells Mama a bunch of stuff evidently. You know, you add a few years to that and you recognize that the Holy Spirit of God goes with you wherever you go. And He teaches. And so if you think the Great Commission and the power of the Great Commission is done because now you're saved, He's still working on you.
Yes.
Through the Great Commission. And you know what you have, not to look at the world and say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, or that you go and stick your tongue out at some church down the road and say, you don't got the truth and we do. You know, I'm not talking about that, all right? But I'm going to tell you this. You're in the right church. You're in a church that preaches the truth of the Word of God. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that. And you know what? There's a whole lot of churches like this one. There's a lot of them. Now, you may think, man, I don't know if there's too many. Oh, there's a lot of believers like this. And can I tell you, they believe these same truths. If I can convey anything, before we get on an airplane and fly back south, I just want you to recognize what you are investing in, whether it's in the stateside or overseas, what you are invested in is something that God has authorized, that God has vested His power in, and that you are a part of a process, even by investing in missionaries around the world. Like we said, I know your pastor's heart on this matter, in that it's church planting, whether it's here or anywhere around the world, it's church planting. And that we are part of something wonderful. And that if you think the Great Commission is not affecting you anymore, every time you learn a truth at the Bethel Baptist Church, you can guarantee this. Thank you, Lord, for the Great Commission work in my life. That it still can, I'm still being discipled. I'm still learning. And everything we know, we get to tell others about. Now, I'm 5 minutes past cutting the baloney off, okay? And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, please be here in the morning. Let's invite somebody. It's early enough. You can give a call to somebody tonight and say, hey, would you come to church tomorrow? We've got people right now in Arkansas. They're for the first time considering coming back to church. And it's time. People are ready to get out. And let's invite folks and let's have them come. And let's do this tonight. Let's pray that God will do a great work tomorrow. I know you've already invested in prayer. We've got people, quite frankly, we've got people all over praying for this very meeting. And we've been doing so for quite some time now. Let's ask God to do a great work tomorrow. And then whatever He's done in our heart tonight, we're going to kind of not set it aside. We're just going to kind of leave it there and we'll pick it up tomorrow. And we're going to see some exciting things in Scripture. Let's ask God to do a great work. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes with me tonight? Father, we are so thankful for the power of Your Word. That, Lord, the same power where You created everything that we know, everything that we are, that power is the power we take Your gospel into the world with. It's the power that stands behind the promise that the gates of hell shall never, never prevail against that which you have begun, the New Testament church. And so may we be faithful to the truth. May we take these truths and recognize they are still affecting us today as we learn, because we're saved, because we've been baptized, because we've been a part of this, and now we take it into the town in which you've given to us to live in, wherever that may be. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. And I pray that you would find us faithful. Lord, any work you're doing in somebody's heart tonight, regardless of their age, anybody's heart tonight, Lord, that you are touching and speaking to and working on, to in any way be involved in this great commission work. That may mean getting involved here at this local church that they're a part of and getting more involved in that here. It may be somebody that you're a young man that you're calling to preach, somebody that you're doing a work in that goes far deeper. It's much more than just a thought that fleeting through someone's mind, but you're working in them. If that be, may we all be obedient to whatever your Holy Spirit is impressing deeply upon us to do. And Lord, if we would do that, somebody could come to Jesus Christ that may not if we don't do that. And so I do pray that we'd be faithful to the truths of your word tonight and recognize the importance of the Great Commission, not only for now, but for the future, as we desire to see churches planted around the world by carrying the same gospel we preach of tonight. We ask that you'd bless, even in the moments of invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes